is not just head knowledge. Knowing God, we will be transformed by Him. So this is a process. We can say it's a growing process. So once we have eternal life, this life will be growing in us. So as we grow, we are not just just coming to the meeting and then hearing sermon, doing Bible studies. All these things help us to grow. Yes, we need fellowship with one another. That will help us to grow as well. But not just stopping there, because all this may become just head knowledge to us. So God, in our daily lives, He will lead us through a lot of difficulties or trials. Going through all these difficulties, our faith in Him will be put to the test. It all becomes practical. It all becomes, we can experience, experiment the life that is in us. So, not just knowing, head knowledge, but relying on Him, we can go through all these life challenges, difficulties. So, last time I mentioned about some roadblocks. As you go down the road, you see some rocks there. We may have different ideas. Some people may say, this is a stumbling block, blocking me, trying to bring me down. But some people look at it differently. Oh, God will be helping me. This is just a stepping stone. I can grow out of... God is helping me going through all this. It's going to bring me up. Help me to grow. Getting more stronger in Him. So being a Christian, we should have a different point of view as we encounter difficulties in our life. We can put our trust in Him. So, we should change our view. How do we look at difficulties in our life? We can experience Him in our lives. Let's look at Numbers chapter 14, verse 6 and 9. It's about Joshua. Moses sending Joshua, the 12 spies, to look on the land. And that is their reply in Numbers chapter 14, verse 6 to 9. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jehunneh, who were among those who had spied out of the land, tore their clothes and they spoke to all the congregations of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land." Yes, the land is good, but, if the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. Yes, the blessing is there, filled with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Yes, other spies say, they are giants. It's a big difficulty. We can't fight against these people. But Joshua looked at it differently. Yes, do not fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. So when they look at the difficulties, they say, they are our bread. Yes, they are huge, they are big, but they are our bread. So how do you look at difficulties? Do you look at it, oh, we are doomed, we have no hope? Or you will say, they are our bread. So last time I talked about stumbling block. The first stumbling block last time I mentioned is worries. Yes, when we encounter difficulties, worries come automatically. But do not stop at the worry there. We can cast our care upon Him. We can say, Lord, You come and take full control of this situation. And then we can experience by our faith, casting our care on Him. Because He cares for us. So when we face worry, don't stop there. Look at Him. Have faith in Him. Cast our care on Him. This is stumbling block number one. Today I'm going to talk about stumbling block number two. Also starts with W, which is weakness. What is weakness? weakness is suddenly you are aware you don't have the strength to overcome something. So often, when we talk about, if you like playing computer games, I say, oh, can you play computer game for 1 hour? No problem, that's easy. You have the strength to play computer game 1 hour, easily passed. But if I ask you, hey, can you read the Bible for 20 minutes? Oh, that's difficult. I feel so weak. You see, when we are doing God's will, suddenly we realize we are weak. But when we are going our way, something you like, you feel strong. You can't stop yourself. You keep going. So think about this. The weakness always comes when you should do something you should do. Doing God's will, you feel that you are weak. But doing your will, going your way, we are always strong. Now, let's talk about the weakness I'm talking about is God is leading us, and when we try to follow Him, we always feel, oh, too hard, too difficult, I'm weak. But when you turn around, actually you're so strong to do what you want. So may the Lord help us to see what is weakness. We are going to see a lot of examples from the Bible. First of all, we are going to see the Israelites. Okay, let's look at the book of Numbers, chapter 13. It's very, very related to chapter 14 we have just read just now. In Numbers, chapter 13, the spies were sent to spy on the land of land Canaan. Okay, and what are their words? What are their reports? What were the reports there? But the man who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people. The enemies are so strong, for they are stronger than we. When you see the enemy, they are stronger. We are so weak. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. So when we look at, if they are not doing God's will, they don't have such feeling. But if they know God is leading them into that land Canaan, okay, the enemies are giants. Look at us. Look at their, how do they see? There we saw the giants. Look at their eyes. Saw the giants. And we were like grasshoppers. And they look at ourselves, we are like grasshoppers. Giants against grasshoppers. No match. No hope. So it's how they see things. So whenever we come to doing God's will, first thing you do is you look at yourself. I'm so small, I'm so weak, I'm limited. Look at the need. Look at the enemies. They are huge. Monsters. Now, can we look at Deuteronomy, another part of the Bible? Chapter 7, verse 17 to 21. And the Lord is saying to them, if you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I possess them? This is their question. Great and small. They are huge, they're big, I'm so weak. So this is what God's telling them. You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. The great trials which your eyes saw, the signs and the wonders, the mighty hands and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out, so shall the Lord your God do to all the people of whom you are afraid. Moreover, the Lord your God will send a hornet among them, until those who are left, who hide themselves from you, are destroyed. You shall not be terrified of them, for the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you. Now notice here, yes, you look at the enemies, they are giants. You look at yourself, grasshoppers. But the Lord asks you to remember. Remember what you have seen before. You shall remember well in the past. So often we respond to right now, the challenges, the difficulty is so strong. But remember, in the past, how the Lord has brought you through with all these great wonders, the mighty hand outstretched out. Remember how the Lord punished Pharaohs, how the great miracles the Lord has done. Remember in your life how the Lord has helped you before. Remember, not just immediate look at the difficulties now, remember the past. Not, if you remember the past, then you should have faith by which the Lord your God brought you out. So shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. So yes, remember the past, what the Lord has done. Even though right now the enemy seems to be big, but the Lord shall help you through. So don't you have to know how to look. Don't look at yourself like grasshopper. Don't just look at the giants right now, but look at the past. The Red Sea departed. All the 10 plagues God has put on Egypt. And so shall God will do something miraculous you never think of. So do you know how to look? Look back. Have faith. Look into the future. God can do it. And also, they felt they are like grasshoppers. But look God, what God has done there. In 20, the Lord will send the hornet. Hornet is not big. Even smaller than grasshopper. I can see it's hornet is even smaller. So you think grasshopper has no match for the giants? Okay, I can send even smaller than grasshoppers. I can use hornets to drive them out of the land. So God can do miracles. So whenever we come to difficulties, look back what God has done in your life. Have faith in the future. God is going to lead you through. Not just focus on how weak, how limited you are today. Our God is a great and awesome God. Okay, so let's have a look on 2 Kings as well. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 14 to 17, some enemies are trying to send armies to capture the prophet. So they are circled in a small city. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. So enemies tried to catch this prophet. And what the man of God said? And when the servant of the man of God rose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do? We are doomed." He can see the enemies out there surrounding the city. You have no way out. In verse 16, so he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." The prophet, in his eye of faith, he can see something more. Brothers and sisters, when you feel you are surrounded by troubles, you have no way out, may God open your eyes. You can see something else. And Elisha, the prophet, prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes, his servant's eyes, that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. So may the Lord open our eyes, not just seeing the difficulties, but seeing God is helping us. His helping is around us as well. And he saw, and behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So you see some enemies surrounding you, but if the Lord opens our eyes, there's an even more greater army, more chariots surrounding us, protecting us. Brothers and sisters, what do you see? When you are in difficulty, what do you see? You see yourself? Grasshopper. Enemies? Giants. Do you see God's help? Do you remember what God has done in the past? Do you have faith in the future? God will deliver you. Look at it differently. How about we look at another person, Moses, in Exodus chapter 3. When God called Moses to serve him, Moses talk a lot, trying to say no to God, not me. Now let's see what is the excuses, or how did Moses reply to God sending him? Come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God is, Moses, I'm asking you, I'm telling you to help me to, I'm going to free my people out of Egypt. I will send you to Pharaoh. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? So he is looking at himself. I'm nothing. I'm 80 years old. I'm an old man now. If you asked me 40 years ago when I was the prince of Egypt, yeah, I have the influence there. I'm strong there. I was strong then. But now I'm an old man. 40 years in the wilderness, who am I? I'm nothing. Brothers and sisters, do you feel, most of us won't feel you are old, okay? But when you feel, one day you say, oh Lord, I'm too old to do that. God called Moses when he was 80. So who am I? It's focusing on yourself, your condition. So he said, I will certainly be with you. So that's God's reply. I will be with you. He doesn't mention about your age. It's not a matter about you. Who am I? So in Moses' mind, it's just me. Look at me. Look at me. He's in the center. He wants to send me, but I can't. I am so important. Because I can't, you can't. Even because my weakness is so strong, even the Almighty God can't do anything about it. So that's what he means. So often we think our weakness is stronger than the Almighty God. So who am I? But I am with you. That is the answer. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. So this is God's reply to him. Not about you, it's I will be with you. In difficulty, not about you. It's about, is he with you? In difficulty, not about you. Not how weak you are. Is God with you in there? Second time, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Lord, I don't know. There are so many things I don't know. I can't do it. So he's saying, I don't know. So often when I ask my children something, I don't know. I don't know. That seems to be a good reason to stop other requests. Help me to do that. I don't know. Do that for me. I don't know. So don't know seems to be always the answer. But God says, I am, if you don't know me, I'll tell you who I am. I am who I am. I'm not going to talk about this wonderful name because basically it's not about what you don't know. If you don't know something, God is going to tell you when he sends you. Ask God and God will tell you. So it's not about you again. It's about I am who I am. You don't know, I'll tell you. Go down to chapter 4. Then the third time, Moses said to him, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. And suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. Now this suppose, what if, always come to us, Lord, you sent me to do this, but it's not that simple. But suppose. All this difficulty, totally unexpected. Lord, I can't do anything. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A rod. Then he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent and Moses fled from it. If we read further down, that means God is doing you some miracles. Give him, don't worry. What happens is, I am with you. I can work miracles. I will be with you. But suppose, no, suppose I am with you. I can handle all the unexpected events. Next, go further down. The fourth time. Then Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servants. That means You can't change me, Lord. I am not eloquent. Even you have spoken to me, I am still not eloquent. You can't do anything about this. So his not eloquent is stronger than the Lord. But I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. So this is all our excuses. When God wants you to do something, our minds are so smart and great suddenly. All these excuses pop up. I can't. I'm not able. I was not born that way. I'm not born that way. I can't do it. Then the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have I not the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what to shall say. So no more excuse. I am the maker. I can make you. I will show you what you should say. So often when we come to serve the Lord, my English is poor. My Mandarin is poor. That's always how I feel. So, doesn't matter, just speak. Brothers and sisters will gladly support you and help you and correct you later on. Don't worry, just speak. God is there, God is helping you. The fifth time, oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. This is the final. Somebody else, not me, no way, somebody else. This is the final. And what's the response of the Lord? So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. No more excuses, Moses, because I am with you. You can't do it, I'm the maker. You don't know what to say, I'm going to tell you. You don't know my name, I'll tell you. Recently, I asked a young sister, when you're traveling back to China, do you feel worried? Can you read Chinese? Not a lot. Can you speak Chinese? Not a lot. If you get lost in the city, can you get help? Do you know where you should go? I don't know. But she is still willing to travel China. Why? Because her mom is with her. Her mom is going to tell her which restaurant to go, where to go, which train station. Her mom got the money. So no worries, because just by her, she is weak. She don't know how to talk. She don't know which way she go. But when God is with us, He will tell you, yes, you are weak. Yes, the danger, the trials is very heavy or severe. But when the Lord is with us, with His power, with His knowledge, when He's there, He will help us step by step. This is what I want to say. So all this reason, why me? I don't know. I can't. What if? Suppose someone else, Lord. All it doesn't work when God is with us. Okay, let's see another strong man. Don't come out yet. If I ask you who is the strongest man in the Old Testament, and see, you know, strongest man. Let's look at Samson. I think everybody likes to know stories of Samson. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against. We don't talk about this first. Okay, what is the secret of that strong man? Just now, and she mentioned he has got long hair. Okay, so it's long hair, the secret of his strength. In that way, someone has got very long hair, then you must be the strongest person here. Oh, I got short hair, I must be the weakest then. So the secrets of long hair is not long. Actually, it's not the long hair. Samson, the judges at that time, God has to deliver the Israelites from their enemies. So no one can choose. It seems that God chose Samson. Okay, and before Samson, I should say it like this: Samson, when the day was born, the Lord spoke to his parents. You shouldn't cut his hair. Then this is a symbol. A symbol of what? A symbol for Samson. His whole life is dedicated, offered to serve God, the Nazarites. This is according to the book of Numbers. God has a law telling people who want to dedicate themselves to God, they can keep their hair long. Okay, it's a symbol of dedication for the Lord. So Samson seems to be a most strong person. And that is the secret of his strength. So when we come back to here, when he came to Lehi, the Philistine came shouting against him, then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Now notice, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Not because of his long hair, not because of his muscles. Actually, many storybooks picture Samson as a very muscular body. Actually, I don't think so. Otherwise, we may think the strength comes from his muscles. Actually, I think he may be a normal guy, maybe just like me. You know, not so skinny anymore, but not so special, not a muscular guy. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arm becomes like flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands. So his strength is because of the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And what did he do next? He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it, and killed 1,000 men with it. One jawbone killed 1,000 men. Imagine the strength. If you just ask me to swing a jawbone 1,000 times, I'll be tired already. Don't mention about killing anyone. But after that, then Samson said, with the jawbone of donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of donkey, I have slain 1,000 men. Can we go further? Yes. And so it was, when he had finished speaking, that he threw the jawbone from his hand and called that place Ramath Lehi. Then he became very thirsty. Now I want you to notice, just now he was so strong, but actually he is still weak as well. So when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him to use him, he became so strong, he can kill 1,000. But afterwards, he is a mortal man. He's still weak with thirst. So he cried out to the Lord and said, "You have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant, and now shall I die of thirst?" He can die of thirst if the Lord did not give him water. So, yes, he has the strength. When needed, God will, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon him. But he is still a weak vessel. He is not invincible. He is not strong. As we look at it, this supernatural strength is not 24 hours. So, brothers and sisters, what I want to say is, when there is a need, the thing is, his strength comes from what? Dedication to the Lord. It's not about the hair. It's just a symbol. It's not about the muscle. It's about his dedication. So even though you are weak, but if you dedicate yourself to the Lord, I say again, even though you think you are weak, I can't speak good English, my body is weak, I'm sick, I'm too old, or I'm too young, I don't know that, I don't have the knowledge required, I don't have the skill required, all sorts of reasons. But if you dedicate yourself, if you offer yourself to the Lord, then the Lord can use you. The Spirit of the Lord can come upon you and to use you to do his work. Let's look at David. It's not there, okay? When we think about David, he's just a small boy, isn't it? When he, young man, when he came to face Goliath. So just now when we remember when the Israelites, when they look at the giants, we are grasshoppers, no match. But look at David. Did he see how tall Goliath is? Yeah, he saw that. Did he realize he's just a shepherd boy? He knows that. But remember what David said? He has faith. Why? Because the Lord has delivered me. In the past, the Lord has delivered me from the paws of the bears and the lions. Now, he remembered how the Lord has helped him. Yes, there's a big Goliath here. And what do you have, David? Look at you. You don't even have an armor. He just picked some rocks. He picked five, but actually he used one. And this human tank, I don't know how tall Goliath is, he picked a stone, whew, and got him with just one tiny stone. So if you the thing is, if you dedicate yourself, David, in his mind, dedicate himself for the for the name of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord, then the Lord can use little David with a little stone to strike down the big Goliath. So yes, you are weak, David. Yes, the stone is small. Yes, Goliath is huge and big. But if you dedicate yourself, the Lord can do it. Now let's look at another case, Gideon. When the Lord came to choose Gideon, what did Gideon say? And so it was. It was when he finished speaking that Gideon is Judges chapter 6, 15. Yes. So he said to him, "O Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house." So among 12 tribes of Israel, Manasseh, God chose Manasseh. And among all the clans in Manasseh, God chose the weakest clan. And among the weakest clan, God chose the least in Gideon's father's house. It seems that God, find, who is the weakest clan? Oh, there. Who is the weakest, smallest family? Oh, there. Who is the weakest one in that family? Oh, there. There's Gideon. So God chose Gideon. So if you are, who is the weakest here? If you push up your hand and say, "Oh, God has chosen you because you are the weakest among." Sometimes we wonder, why God chose me? I'm not top, I'm not so bright in my class. Yes, God didn't. Actually, God purposely not choosing the greatest. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7. "The Lord did not set his love on you, Israelites, nor choose you, Israelites, because you were more in numbers than any other people, for you were the least of all people." Why would God choose the Israelites? Because they are the least. Let's look at another in John chapter 6, verse 7. Chapter 6, verse 7. Oh yeah, here. It's about I've quoted the wrong passage. Okay. So it's about 5 loaves of bread, barley loaves and 2 small fish. And at that time the Lord said, the people say, "What are they? They are so many. The people, we only have this little amount." You remember the need there? More than 5,000, just men, including the women and the children, maybe 20,000 more. 20,000. So, but all they find is only 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Even the disciples say, "What are they? There are so many. The needs are so great. But this is so small. How can the Lord use this small amount to feed the great multitude?" So it seems, look back. So God chose the weak, old man like Moses. God chose the weakest clan, Gideon. God used a man. Because of his dedication, God can choose him, Samson. Now let's look at another passage. Why would God like to choose? It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 to 29. "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing, the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." That means we can't take glory to ourselves. God has chosen the weak. In fact, God purposely chosen the weak, chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. If you think, "I'm wise, God can use me." No. So God chose Moses when he felt he was useless. "Who am I? I can't do anything else. I'm so old." So give glory to God. So God purposely chose the weak. So brothers and sisters, when we come, when we face difficulties in our life, when you feel you are weak, good. Because we are always weak in front of the Lord. But don't stop there. Just like Samson, if you dedicate yourself to the Lord, God can make use of what you have. 5 barley loaves you have, 2 little fish you have, then God can make use of that to bless other people. I don't know much English. How much do you know? I don't have much time to serve the Lord. I only can spend 20 minutes. Dedicate what you have to the Lord. I'm so old, I only have 2 years left. Dedicate that 2 years to the Lord. Dedicate what you have, the little part you have. Dedicate it to the Lord, and the Lord can work miracles. The Lord is with you. All your weakness is no problem. Just like Moses, all the excuses is excuses. When the Lord is with us, God can do marvelous things in your life. Look at Paul in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9-10. Paul has encountered he has a thorn in his flesh. Some people say the thorn in his flesh is about his eye problem, but it didn't say there, so we may have that guess, but he asked the Lord to take the thorn away. But what is the answer to Paul? And God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." So that thorn in your flesh, that difficulty always there in your life, is a thorn in your flesh. Lord, why do you keep it there? I feel I'm always so weak. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is telling Paul, His grace is sufficient for you. Do you see His grace? In your weakness, you feel that you're so limited. But yet, can you see Him? Can you listen to Him? Can you see His grace is sufficient for you? He's not asking a lot. He's just saying, what you have, dedicate it to me. I can use it to glorify myself. So, therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So Paul has a very different attitude. When he sees difficulties, he says, yes, I'm so weak, but wait, I can experience His great grace as well. There's a chance here. Yes, I have not enough, but God's grace is going to pour in to fill me up. And look at number 10. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, weakness, in reproaches, people rejecting Paul. I'm so weak, I'm scared. In needs, in persecution, in distresses. For Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then I am strong. So, with that grace there, Paul always feel that he is weak. Facing all these humongous difficulties, challenges. He is weak, yet he feels God is strong. So brothers and sisters, if you say you are weak, good. Then can you see His grace is there? Don't just look at yourself, how small you are, how limited you are. Remember what the Lord has done in the past. Put trust in Him, He can do greater. Just dedicate yourself into His hand. No matter how small that is, He can do something great in our lives. And the last person I want to let us think about is our Lord. Our Lord achieved salvation. Is it by His mighty strength? When He used words, He can calm the storm, raise the dead. He is so full of strength. Yet, what strength did He use when He was being when men lay their hands on him, put him on the cross like that, put the nail through his hands and feet. He was so weak. He just used a body, a weak body. And yet, that body, that dying on the cross, so weak. He became man, so weak. He can feel the pain. He can bleed. And he can die. Using such a weak human body on the cross and achieved eternal salvation for us. Isn't that amazing? Think about it. It's not his strength. It seems to be his weakness dying on the cross. He didn't use miracle. He didn't put the nail pick the nail out. Imagine, can you use a toothpick to poach a lion? Poke a lion? No, the lion, boom, and you die. And yet, Lord opened his arms, willing to die on the cross, and achieved great salvation. Look at it, he seems to be so weak, but he's so strong up there. So strong, so determined to do God's will. Even though he has a weak, it seems to be a weak body that can die. So brothers and sisters, in your weakness, you can still do God's will and give glory to God. Just dedicate yourself into his mighty hand and do his will. So, if you are old, he can use you. If you are weak, sick, in your sickness, he can still use you. If you are too young, I don't have the knowledge, I don't have good English, no matter what reasons you have, just in your weakness. If my hands can lift, if a strong man can lift 100 kilogram like this, 100 kilogram, but I have a weak hand, I can only lift 2 kilogram. I'm weak. I got a weak hand, but I can use this weak hand to do God's will. Some Christians, even they have disability. They don't have some. If you look at some videotapes, some YouTube, some Christians, they don't have hands. They don't have legs. Some are paralyzed. And yet, in their weakness, they dedicate themselves to the Lord. They still can glorify God. So don't tell me how weak you are. It's not your concern. We all have different weaknesses. But just dedicate what you have to the Lord. And he will glorify himself with all your limitations, with all your weaknesses. Our Lord can do wonderful things and glorify his name. So our weakness is no excuse. So may the Lord speak to us. Our weakness is never a problem. God chose the weakness. Even Lord Jesus, physically he was so weak, and he achieved God's will. How do you, the thing is, in your weakness, do you sin? Or in your weakness, do you serve God and glorify his name? May the Lord speak to us. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you are the Almighty God. And you know our condition. You know all our weaknesses. But we praise you because you are with us. All you ask is that we offer ourselves into your hand. And you can do mighty things in our weaknesses. You are the mighty God, may glory be to your name, not to our human strength. Lord, we thank you for your grace, for your love towards us. We commit our lives into your hand. We pray that you will be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.